Blog Talk
Radio. Hey guys, welcome back. Today's recipe, I'll be showing you guys.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, now devil, you is a liar. Y'all bear with me for a second here. I'm dedicating this song here to Keith Long. So this is being dedicated to him. Hallelujah. Hey, praise the Lord.
You don't know what I've been through. Let me share my story with you. All the things that he brought me through. Stormy days and my rainy days. You don't know all the tears I've cried. The things I've kept bottled up inside, trying my best to be strong, waiting on God and holding on. Thank you.
You just don't know. We've all had some trials and tribulation. But the good thing is we can tell God, thank you, that he brought you through. He brought you on the other side. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're truly happy to have each and every one of you all. We're going to ask Evangelist Ursula if she'll get us one with a word of prayer. And then we're going to see if Evangelist Renee have a little small sandwich there for us. And then we'll get into the lesson. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for another day, God. We thank you, God, for waking us up this morning, sound mind, perfect health, and an able body, God. We realize, God, we can't do nothing without you, God. So we bow before the throne of grace this morning, humbled. Humbled and willing to be obedient, God. We surrender and submit to you our whole heart, our whole being, our entire being, God. We lay it at the altar of grace this morning, Father. We just thank you and praise you that you love us so much, that you are mindful of us. You know the hairs on our head. You know us by our name, God, and we thank you for loving us and being concerned about our well-being, God. We thank you, God, because we can walk with a sound mind and perfect health, God. By his cross, by his stripes, in the name of Jesus, we healed by Jesus' name. Who report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. By faith, hallelujah, we walk in healing today, God. We receive, we partake, God. Your word says if we believe and have faith of a mustard seed, that you would do it, hallelujah. You said, give my word back to me. I watch over my word and do a complete work to my word. So, Father, we give your word back to you this morning.
Yeah.
And we walk in whole health and whole healing. In the name of Jesus, we demand sickness and disease to be far from our body in the name of Jesus. Your word said it might come up, but it must flee in the name of Jesus. It can't stay. We rebuke and bind sickness this morning back to the pit of hell. It cannot overcome us. We take authority and dominion in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. We saturate us in your presence, God. Power come when we call on the name of Jesus. We take authority right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Over everything that rises up against us, we cast it back down in the name of Jesus, under our feet, in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for dominion, power, and authority. We thank you, God, that life and death is in our mouth, it's in our tongue. We speak life, hallelujah. We shall live and not die according to your word, hallelujah. You said, God, you do it. So we giving it back to you, and we trusting and depending and relying on you to do your perfect will in us this morning, God.
In
the mighty name of Jesus, have your way. Hallelujah. Yeah. Rise up in your glory, in your power, in your might. Show yourself revealed and exposed in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
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 Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Ooh, hallelujah.
Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
The
first piece of bread will be Ephesians 6:12. And this is from the New Living Translation. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Oh, okay. The next one will be Philippians 2:13. For God is working in you, giving you the desires and the power to do what pleases him. And by that sandwich we're going to put, by his stripes we are healed.
Mm-hmm.
We are made the conquerors. Okay. We can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to slide a little Bible verse in here. If someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, truly, I thank Evangelist Renee for those scriptures. Thank Evangelist Ursula for that heartfelt prayer.
Yeah.
We're going to pick up where we left off yesterday in the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews. But let me tell you one thing, because God spoke this to my heart this morning. Because I'm thinking everybody love God. I'm thinking they love God because they say they love God. I'm believing that. And God said, don't believe those lies. I said, well, Lord, I need something to stand on. So the Lord showed me, he says, now, in John 14:15, I need somebody to read that, John 14:15. See, because, you know, they didn't believe Jesus. Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed from the Father. That's where I came from. He said, what I do, I can't do this for myself. The Father sent me to do this stuff. It ain't mine.
Amen.
But in John 14:15, someone want to read that?
Amen.
If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And from the Message Bible, John 14:15. Praise God. Good afternoon, everyone. And thank God for that song. Thank God for that powerful prayer. And thank God for that delicious hoagie. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, 14 and verse 15 from the Message Bible. That's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. I mean it. Whatever you request in this way, I'll do. Amen.
That's 14 and 15.
Yeah.
No, Pastor. I apologize. That's 14 and 14. Okay, the 15th verse. If you love me, show it by doing what I told you. I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you another friend. Amen.
So this is God's covenant with us. Everybody don't love God. He said, but if you love me, you'll keep my word. Everybody don't love the word of God. That's how you know if you love God. It's just like a woman said, if you really love me, put a ring on it.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Don't act like that's no surprise to you. Put a ring on it. If you really want to be with me, put a ring on it. So God said, if you love me, keep my commandment. Do the word. Keep the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he was showing me. Everybody don't love him. He said, but if you love me, you keep my word, and here's what's going to happen. The Father's going to send you another comforter, and you're going to know who he is. He's going to be just as much alive as I am to you. So God keeps his part of the bargain. It's man who doesn't keep covenant. In Hebrews 9, let's go to Hebrews 9, And let's read, if you will, the first five verses. And we're going to talk a little bit about the priesthood, and we're going to talk a little bit about the covenant and Jesus' role. And even today, brothers and sisters, he's our priest. High priest. So where will we treat him like that? Because he's not in a physical building. Go over there in Hebrews 8:1. You'll see that he is in a spiritual place. That's where we're supposed to be at anyway, because we're spiritual now. And if I got to tell you, this is a new thing, man. Stop trying to live the old way. God ain't doing that no more. He got a new plan. He throwed the old one out because we wouldn't do right. God said, bring your sacrifices up in here, and you do this. And they would even mess with the sacrifice. So in Hebrews 9:1, and read the first, the first five verses. That's fine. Read the first five verses.
Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Amen. That's 1-5, Pastor.
Thank you so much.
Amen. Send the message, Bible. That plan contained direction for worship and a specially designed place of worship. A large outer tent was set up. The lampstand and table and the bread of presence were placed in it. This was called the holy place. Then a curtain was stretched, and behind it a smaller inside tent was set up. This was called the Holy of Holies. In it were placed gold incense altar and the gold cover ark of the covenant containing the gold urn of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and a covenant tablet, and the angel wing shadow mercy seat. But we don't have time to comment on these now. Amen.
And so, thank y'all so much. The next five verses is from verses 6 to verses 10. Now, all of this is going to tie in once you get it out there and understand what's going on. If God thought the old covenant wasn't no good, why you think it's that good?
If God
getting rid of it, why you trying to keep it? You see? So it got to point to reality. Because doing the blood of animals, that's only for the outside, and that wasn't no good because wasn't nobody keeping the covenant. He's doing a new thing. So these next five verses, start at verse 6, if you will, and go to verse 10.
Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services, but into the second part of the the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins, committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. While the first tabernacle was still standing, it was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience, concerned only with foods and drinks, various washing and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. From the Message Bible, after this was set up, the priests went about their duties in a large tent. Only the high priest entered the smaller inside tent, and then only once a year, offering a blood sacrifice for his own sins and the people's accumulated sins. This was the Holy Spirit's way of showing with a visible parable that as long as the large tent stands, people couldn't just walk in on God. Under this system, the gifts and sacrifices came the gifts and sacrifices can't really get to the heart of the matter, can't assuage the conscience, of the people, but are limited to matter of ritual and behavior. It's essentially a temporary arrangement until a complete overhaul could be made. Amen.
But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a great and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. So you have to make a choice here. What tabernacle you want to be part of it? What sanctuary you want to be part of? Can't be part of both of them. Because Christ is operating as the chief priest in his tabernacle, which is in heaven. That's why we must seek those things above and not the things beneath. So just for a few moments, we're going to look at some scriptures to show you, why it's so much better. Because that's what he said. God said this. I didn't say this. He said this. I just happened to find out that it's really true. It's really true. But Christ being come and high priest of good things. Man, he got good stuff for us. If we would just enter into it, not pull back, but enter into it. A sister told me yesterday, you know, you're thinking people receive stuff, and man, they could be fighting not to receive it. Sister told me yesterday, she said, you know, Pastor, that just really enlightened me. That spoke to my heart. We was talking about over there in Galatians 5. But anyway, I ain't calling my name. But anyway, she really received it. And all along, I'm thinking, well, everybody receiving da-da-da-da. And her spirit, now don't get me wrong, her spirit loved the Lord and wanted her. But for some reason or another, there was a blockage there. And the Lord told me, he said, that's the veil. It had to be removed. See, you got to be able to remove that veil, man, to be able to see these good things that the Lord has for you. So you never know how God's going to do it. He'll allow this to happen, that to happen, so you can get to a place where you can begin to receive it. Now, if the blood of bulls and goats, that sacrifice cleansed the outside, how much more can the blood of Christ cleanse the conscience, your mind? See, God wants your mind clear. He loves you.
Thank you, Lord.
And you let the, don't let the enemy steal what God has for you. He have good things. The devil, the last thing the devil want us to know is how much God really loves us. Man, mm-hmm. You don't have a clue how much God loves us. And the more I look at it, I'm going like, ooh, God, you bigger than I even thought. I said, yeah, you know, nobody else wouldn't love you in your mess, but I love you.
Yeah.
I got you
Lord.
Out of that mess.
Thank
I don't want you to
Lord.
Get tied back up with it. What saved you? Okay. Did a bunch of shoe bread? Did these ordinances
Thank
save
Lord.
You? Being circumcised, mm-hmm. did that save you? Mm-hmm. None of that mm-hmm. stuff saved you, man. It was God's spirit mm-hmm. that got in you. It was through his blood. So when he entered in once mm-hmm. into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So that's why this new covenant is so much better.
Yeah.
You got to know, this old covenant is just temporary.
Yeah.
It's temporary.
Say that. Uh-huh.
In Hebrew, I'm going to show you that. I ain't just telling you what. In Hebrews 7, let me read this. You can either have this one or that one. You can't have both of them. You're going to either have the new covenant or you're going to operate in the old. You have to make that decision.
Amen.
In 7, you'll keep his commandment. In Hebrews 7 and 23, let's read that. Hebrews 7, 23.
Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever as an unchangeable priesthood, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. From the Message Bible, earlier there were a lot of priests, for they died and had to be replaced. But Jesus' priesthood is permanent. He's there from now to eternity to save everyone who comes to God through him, always on the job to speak up for them. Amen.
Amen.
Christ's priesthood is eternal. You read 7, what is that? The 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews and around the 17th, I think it's about the 17th verse. I want you to see that priesthood was temporary. That's all that was. But Christ mm-hmm. is forever. You want to be part mm-hmm. of the forever because it's a better way. It's a better way to God. But in Hebrews 7 and 7, 7 and 17.
Amen. For he testifies, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the hand there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. From the Message Bible, priests forever in a royal order of Melchizedek, the former way of doing things, a system commanded that never worked out the way it was supposed to, was set aside, and the law brought nothing to maturity. Anyway, Jesus, a way that does work, that brings us right into the presence of God, is put in its place. Amen.
Amen.
You see, we have an eternal, please hear this, we have an eternal priesthood. And the Bible calls us a royal priesthood. See, the only way you can be part of that royal priesthood, is, now you can say it all day long, but the only way you can be part of it is like anything else. You have to become part of it. Yeah. The Bible calls it being a partaker of a divine nature. Everybody can't be part of the royal priesthood, but those that take their part in it, they become a partaker of a divine nature. So it's so much better to be part of the royal priesthood than to be part of the priesthood. Yeah.
All right.
The action in the royal priesthood. Like it's part of, it's better to be part of the eternal priesthood than the temporary priesthood. See, some people, they, when you go to the temple, let me tell you, you're going to remember your sins. That's what they would go for. Why else you thought they were taking the blood of them so they can remember their sins? Well, in the new, God let you forget your sins. So when you read scripture like Hebrews 8 and 12 or Hebrews 10 and 17, he take it from your conscience. Because you're not practicing sin, you're practicing righteousness based on his righteousness. Not man now, because man got some crazy stuff out there. You know, it's still people think you're supposed to pay tithe. That's the biggest that's the biggest lie in the world, man. Christ was the end of the law. That was part of the law. Paying tithe was part of the law. And then they had a storehouse. They weren't taking it to the church, temple, as they don't led us to believe. No. Just telling you what was in the temple right there. The shewbread tell you everything was in there. When you read this, it'll tell you. Now, that storehouse was a place where the farmers and people who had livestock, all that kind of stuff, they would take their stuff and give 10%. And that's where they would put it. They weren't putting it up in the sanctuary. Come on, people, read the Bible. Well, let me take my money to the sanctuary. Then you think God going to take that? First of all, God don't need your money. That's first. And that needs to become real to you. Well, if God don't need it, why are you giving it to him? Why don't you start giving Oprah some money, send Bill Gates some money, send all these, Tyler Perry, please send Tyler Perry some money, because he's black, see? I mean, I just want you to see this in a realization, brother and sister. Them folks don't need your little few dollars. You could probably send them. They need to be sending you money. So God don't care nothing about your money. How you going to put them above God? God don't need your money. That was, matter of fact, the tithes was for the poor people anyway. It was your way of learning obedience to help other people, to love your neighbor. They were your neighbor. See, that's what that money was for. But when Christ came, he ended all of that. But you see, when you follow in the Bible, then you'll see there's no need paying no mortgage. For what? Hey, there's no mortgage. You got to pay it in heaven? No. But see, people, they don't want to hear the truth. They'd rather hear a lie because that's something the optical nerve could see. But I'm going to tell you, once you really get into the Lord, brother and sister, I tell you, I promise you, you'll say, wow. How stupid have I been? How crazy was I? But Christ is the end of the law. Anything pertaining to the law has been fulfilled. Now, if you decide you want to give something, the Bible says lay up at the beginning of the week. That's so you can help somebody. That's not to take no money to a sanctuary. He could have told you to take it to the sanctuary, but he didn't say that. He said, you led to the side. Yeah. Read your Bible. I mean, I had a discussion with somebody about this stuff yesterday. I'm telling you about some people just, they're way out there, man, thinking that they've been bamboozled, blind, and made crazy. Well, you know, you got to do this to God. You ain't got to do nothing but worship God in spirit and in truth. That's what's going to get you in. You can't con God. Well, Lord, you know, I pay my tithes. You know, wait, what do you care about that? He ain't told you to do that. You're doing that because that's what you feel like you ought to do. His word don't say that. See, you love the word, so you do what the word say. Now, everybody don't want to hear the truth. And I know that already, too. But anyway, I'm going on the other side of the clock now. So anybody have anything they want to say, we'll pick this up. But, brother and sister, I'm going to tell you right now, when I do the comparison between being in a building and being in Christ, being in his sanctuary and being in man's sanctuary, believe me, I wish I could go back and collect some of that money I gave them folks who had deceived me. Deceived me. See, you don't know you're deceived until afterwards.
Amen.
That's when you know you're deceived. It's afterwards.
Yeah,
because if you knew you was being deceived, you'd do something about it. It's just like if you knew somebody was breaking in your house, you're not going to let you. That happens. You get the facts after the facts, if that makes sense. But anyway, anybody have any comments, anything you want to share about anything? Maybe somebody else need to hear what you feeling, what you thinking. So we'll just take the time to do that if you have anybody have any comments on the lesson today. Anything.
Okay. The pastor, when we were at the ninth chapter of Hebrews, that beginning, it says a visible parable. So right there, it's giving us, and that was verses 1 through 10, and how it was giving us the parable of the sanctuary. And I like that because you said you're going to give us the comparison as well. So we can start right there with that one.
Oh, absolutely. See, this, the church as you know it, or the worldly, the Bible called it the worldly sanctuary. Catch that, man. Mm-hmm. Worldly sanctuary. Look at that. What that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Worldly church.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the world is? Mm-hmm. See, but the people in the church will tell you that the people outside of the building is in the world. No. He's telling you right here, if you look at it, that's what my first verse says. I don't know about y'all, but it says, and worldly sanctuary. That's a worldly church. So instead of saying sanctuary, put worldly church there. And I don't care what denomination, I don't care what building it is, all of it. All of it. Throw it all right there. It's worldly church.
Mm-hmm.
That was a worldly tabernacle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it tells about how it looked, what it looked like, how it looked. But the people were not allowed in certain places in it. It's showing you so that when you go back to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, you'll see that. You'll see the true tabernacle. You'll see why he said that. You'll see why he said that Christ is the minister of the and he's the high priest, the Bible says. He said, you know, we have such a high priest who is sit on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. There's a true tabernacle. And God said, I want you in here with me. I want you to believe what I believe. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, everybody going to believe this stuff. And you know why? Just like during Noah time. Noah said, y'all come on. God going to make it rain. Ah, it ain't going to rain. Never rained before. That's how that man, mind get prickly. And well, all these people wrong? Yeah, all of them. Last time I checked, it was about 8 folks got saved out of the whole world. Well, you want to be in that small group, brother and sister. Don't think everything is in that large group. Don't get that twisted.
Amen.
Don't let everything be predicated on what the optical nerve tell you or even what you're feeling. This is about knowledge. People are destroyed for the lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And how wrong would God be anyway? He got all that money, because last time I checked, he had houses and lands, and he owned the cattle on the hill. He have all that stuff, and then he's going to turn around and take your little dollar or two. What kind of God is that?
Right,
you know, he don't need it. Preacher told me, said the other day, God needs your money. He don't need you. Now, when it's on the other shoe, they'll say, oh, God don't need you. Well, then, if you don't need me, give me my money back.
Yeah.
See,
right.
It's about truth, brothers and sisters. But anyway, anybody else have anything else? Hallelujah. Before we go, I had a couple of people drop, and I can understand why they dropped out, because everybody don't want the truth. I get it. Everybody don't want to hear. It's a long time. I mean, I fought against God, too, until I realized I can't box him.
Mm-hmm. Say that.
I had to accept his word for what it was. Yeah, but I felt kind of this. But God said, don't feel no type of way. Everybody have to deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me. That's real, people. You deny what you're thinking and what you're feeling. And then you say, okay, Lord, this your word. Yeah, I don't care. My mama, my sister, nobody, because they don't have no salvation for me.
Mm-hmm.
And they can think what they want to think. It doesn't matter. They don't have nothing for me. But anyway, I'm looking forward. Thank y'all again for the reading, for the prayer, for everything. And hey, y'all, we're going to see y'all on Sunday.